If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen, man. Mike Rizzo's, and we'll see how it goes with that Adam Peters. He had a hell of a first year, but Mike Rizzo is the best general manager this city's seen since Bobby Bethard, okay? And Mike Rizzo delivered a World Series to this town. Mike Rizzo knows how to build baseball teams.
Mm-hmm.
Davey Martinez, teams start a little rocky, and he just is the most steadying, calming presence. Davey Martinez knows how to manage baseball games. This team, the Nationals, stink because of ownership. Ownership, period. The Nats are playing bad baseball right now. They've lost 7 in a row. I am out. I hear me. I am completely out on the let's get rid of Davey crowd. The people that are mad at Davey about this. Now, are there specific things you want to point out? Yes. But I want to be very clear. Davey ain't the problem.
Agreed. I'm not a fan of Davey as a in-game manager. I haven't been really in his entire tenure here with the exception of the 2019 playoffs. I don't know that there's a single manager that could have managed that playoff run any better than he did. But in general, I'm not a fan of the decisions he makes in games. I don't love his bullpen management. I don't always love his lineup construction. But right now, if you get frustrated by his bullpen management, his pitching management, it's difficult because he either pulls a pitcher too early or too late. He goes to the pen and chooses a guy who he can't depend on because, frankly, there's no one in the pen outside of Kyle Finnegan that you have any sort of confidence in. Last night, Jorge Lopez comes into the game and struggles, and he's just a head case. And I think you could have anyone that watched anything of Jorge Lopez, especially last season after what he did with the Mets, you could have known that he had a little bit of a hot temper. And him just, I don't know if you saw this, JP, when Davey comes to take the ball from him and take him out of the game, generally what does the pitcher do? He just kind of stands there, looks at the manager.
Yeah.
He was bouncing the ball on the rubber like he was playing basketball. He was just frustrated, just bouncing it. It's not a good look. It's not what you need out of a veteran arm, one of the few veteran arms left in that bullpen. And look, I think everybody deserves some blame, but you're right that a majority of it goes to ownership because the reality is Mike Rizzo wants to rebuild the bullpen, and he wants to have more reliable arms in there, but he doesn't have a lot of resources to do so. On Mike Rizzo's side, last year, it's not like he had more resources last year than he did this year, and he was able to at least find a couple of arms. So not to say he was without blame, because he brings in Lucas Sims, Colin Poche, Jorge Lopez. Two of the three are already gone before the couple of weeks into May. So I understand that he's not without blame, but he's also not given a lot of leeway and a lot of freedom to go do anything. And Davey Martinez, frankly, just doesn't have a great ball club to manage. And even though I don't love the way that he manages a lot of times, it's hard to fault decisions when the other options aren't exactly better than what he has. So it's a really bad spot they've put in where every party has a little bit to do with it, but a majority of it is they just don't have the people because they're not spending enough money to field a baseball team that is overly competitive. Because I think the most disappointing part about this, JP, is when you've watched this team this season, they've been in a majority of these baseball games. They're right there in a lot of these things. And Rizzo was on with the Junks talking about this earlier today. They're a team that has a small margin for error. And where does that help? Having a reliable bullpen guy, having a veteran bat that you can trust in the lineup in the middle of the order. And they didn't spend for either of those things this offseason. So they're just in a really tough spot where they've been the last couple of years where they're on the precipice of taking a step, but they're lacking in certain areas that keep them in that 71 win range.
Lev Hill, that was an impassioned Nats rant from my man, Toby. I've also learned, as we do more of these shows together, Toby, I can just ask you about the Nats and do something else for 5 minutes. Kind of awesome. I was just checking out the schedule. Davey ain't the problem. The owners are the problem. You're mad at Davey because it's easy. It's low-hanging fruit.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, there's stuff that he needs to improve on.
But fans can't yell at the owners, so they can yell at the manager.
Yeah, I mean, there's stuff he needs to improve on. Right. Like, I didn't love last night. I know some people are saying he's checked out. I don't buy that. I think Davey is a really good... The thing that he's best at is he is a really encouraging voice in the clubhouse, and I think the young guys really, really like him. But last night it was a little bit disappointing that Dylan Cruz is rung up on a questionable pitch. Depending upon what you look at, Baseball Savant has a more accurate strike zone generally. Looked like a strike there. On TV, it was outside the box, so it was kind of borderline. It could have gone either way, but he gets rung up to end the game. And Dylan Cruz, who generally does not chirp at an umpire, even if he disagrees with a call, is chirping at the home plate umpire saying that's not a strike, complaining about it. And Davey just, they cut to a picture of him and he's staring at it mystified. Go and say something.
Cruz kind of stared at him as he walked by. I did notice that.
Yeah, like say something.
Like it seemed like Cruz was kind of looking at Davey as he walked by.
And it was weird because it's like Davey used to be the guy that was very impassioned about balls and strikes. So I don't know if there's something going on there, but I agree with you in general that it's not his fault, even though I don't necessarily always love the way that he manages games.
All right, joining us right now is the president GM of the Washington Nationals, Mike Rizzo, presented by Main Street Bank. Cheer local, bank local, put their team in your office. Visit mstreetbank.com for more information. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, guys.
All right, still chipper. It's been a rough week. It's been a rough week for Nats fans.
Yes. Well, what a difference a week makes. Oh, my God.
I told the guys a number of times, Mike, I said, I don't like having Mike on even after one loss.
No doubt.
Let alone seven.
No doubt. No, but that was you stole my first line. I was like, you know, what a difference a week makes. You know, last week we were, you know, just got off of, you know, taking 2 out of 3 from Cincinnati. We take the first game at Cleveland. You know, we're closing in on 500. We're 17-19. We're feeling pretty good about ourselves. And then you know, a week later, you know, we got a 7-game losing streak. But that's baseball. You know what I mean? It's we're 43 games into this thing. We got about 119 games left. I see some progressions from some players. I see you know, some guys feeling a little bit better about their roles in the bullpen. I see a kind of a homegrown young bullpen being built, and you know, some of our players are performing much better. But as a whole, it's disappointing because you know, we're a better team than this. You know, the Cardinals came in and they you know, they were hot as a pistol, and they, you know, they continue to be hot as a pistol. They took it to us pretty good, and you know, we're playing some close games here with the Braves, but close games don't count, and you've got to learn how to win these games, and that's the most difficult part of a young team is learning to win these games. We went through these growing pains with these things in 11 and figured it out in 12, and you know, we're still trying to figure it out here.
I know in years past when you guys have struggled. Like several years ago in particular, you would harp on, like, the theme might be, oh, you know, we're running into outs, base running errors, stupid mistakes, that kind of thing. Have you seen any of that in this little 7-game stretch?
Yes, plenty. Yeah. Plenty. So, you know, it's like, you know, when your margin for error is smaller, then you have to play a cleaner game of baseball. And you know, we I
talked to a bunch of players yesterday after the game. Because everyone's all bummed out, right? Obviously, they take it as harder than the fan base does, and nobody likes to limp through a week like this. And there was three or four plays yesterday that would have been good plays if they made them, but we didn't make them. Cost us two or three runs, and we always talk about working at bat, grinding out at bats. It's a one-on-one match. Baseball. I kind of break it down to it's pitcher against hitter, it's hitter against pitcher, and when you're hitting, you have to take it as a competition that it's me against him, and as a pitcher, I've got to get this guy out, me against him, and compete and grind it out and that type of thing. And the effort is there. You see guys diving all over the place. They're playing hard and
that's good
and that type of thing. Their attitude has been great, and it's just a young team that hasn't learned how to beat these good veteran teams, and that's kind of the last thing that we're trying to put into place here is that you can beat these teams. I mean, we've taken series from the Dodgers and the D-backs and the Orioles and the Reds. These are good solid teams that we've won series with, but you have to bring it every day, consistently every day. And I always say the difference between the sport of baseball in Major League Baseball and the other major sports is we're every day. Every day you've got to bring it, and it's 162 games in 185 days, very few days off. It's a grind of a schedule. We had just come off of playing 16 games in 17 days, and then we back out to it. Another 14 game stretch. So it's a learned experience in my mind. We've got a couple of guys, a couple of our young star players that are, into it for like their second year. Cruz, he's in it for his first full season of the everydayness of the game. And I think that there's an adjustment period that is constantly happening in the big leagues, and you have to be fluid enough to make your adjustments, and we're seeing it right now. We went through the first first 25 games of this thing, and our starting pitching was towards the top of the league in ERA, and leagues made an adjustment to the young pitchers, and now the young pitchers have to make an adjustment to the league. And with that said, we still have three good young starters that have sub four ERAs and are pitching well for us. So you combine that with the excitement of six young homegrown bullpen guys that are look like that they can really compete in the league with Ferrer, whose stuff is great, and Rutledge, who's pitching well, and Brixey and Henry, Lord and Ribalta. Those are good things to have, and I think they're figuring out their footing in the game and where they belong in the bullpen, and roles are being rolled out and accepted, and I think that they're going to get a little bit better as the season wears on.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I feel like you almost covered the whole team there because I wanted to ask you about the bullpen specifically. Mm-hmm. For the average fan, it kind of seems like the weakest link of the team right now, the bullpen. How do you go about putting together a bullpen during an off season? Do you work with analytics people and figure out like percentage of payroll? I'm just wondering how you went about putting together the bullpen, Mike.
Well, I think it's, you know, every year it's asset allocation. It's, you know, where's your strengths? Where's your weaknesses? Where's your depth in the minor leagues? Where's your talent base, in your system? And you make decisions, you know, based on that. It'd be nice to give out a 4-year, $20 million contract to a reliever, but that wasn't where we were at this year. And we're relying on Lauren and Henry and Rutledge and Brixey and Ribalta and Ferrer and that group of guys. And we sprinkle in a few veteran relievers in the mix there, and those haven't worked out. But I'm excited about the young guys who are pitching well, who are showing that they belong in the bullpen, it's still early and there's a lot of season left, but Rutledge with a 3.1 ERA and Brixey with a 3.0 and Henry with a 3.3 ERA. I see Lord stuff last night. You see he's up to 97 and throwing well, going between starting and relieving.
So you're optimistic. You're optimistic, yeah, which is great. I want to follow up, though. You used the word asset allocation. Would that change moving forward as the team's young players develop more and more and you hopefully get to the next level?
Yeah, if they're final pieces, we've shown that we've done it before. When we had Drew Stewart as our closer, he was on a team friendly deal, and when we got to the point where we needed more relievers and a deeper bullpen, at that moment we went out and got Soriano. So I mean, it's all about where you're at and what you're and what you need to spend and where your depth of your organization is and that type of thing.
Riz, before we let you go, the one kind of baffling number that I see is Josh Bell, and I wondered if you can kind of chime in on this and explain what you're seeing, because he's not this bad. And I know it's, like you said, it's only 40 games into the season, but you brought him in to be a solid left-handed bat, DH for the most part, because Woody would be playing left, and you already had a first baseman. But what are you seeing from him? 143 is just kind of, that's a head-scratcher.
Yeah, he's struggling mightily. He's mightily struggling, and the good thing about JB is that he doesn't take it from the batter's box to the dugout to the clubhouse, to the team flight. I mean, he's the epitome of a big league player. He's an epitome of a makeup guy and a character guy. He's great with the young kids. With that said, he knows he's struggling. I mean, he's in the cages after the games, hours after the games, trying to figure this thing out. And I think the work ethic that he exudes and the makeup that he has is important to the other players. But 143 is not cutting it, and he knows it, and I know it, and everybody else knows it. We hope that we can figure some things out. You know, he's always been a streaky hitter, but you've got to have a long streak to get out of 143.
Right,
I get that. So he's capable of doing that, I've seen it before. He's done it with us before and with other teams. But yeah, as far as as far as his performance on the field, he's struggling mightily. As far as everything else that he does for us, he's been a terrific asset to this team, and I'm glad we have him on the team. And as far as Woody DH, and we give Woody some DH at bats because we like to get him off his legs a little bit,
right?
And that type of thing. But I don't want James Woods to turn into a 22-year-old designated hitter. This guy's a two-way player. He's still adapting to play left field. He's, in the minor leagues, he played mostly center field and a little bit of right field. And we got to the big leagues, he played left field, which is a difficult position to play. He's putting his work in there, and we need him to be a full five-tool player, which we think he can be.
All right, Mike, good stuff. We'll talk to you next week, hopefully under better circumstances.
All right, snap the streak today, bud.
Today, baby, today. Let's go.
All right.
Good day. Thanks,
Mike.
Thank
you, pal.
Go 1-0 today. It's Mike Rizzo, President GM of the Nationals, presented by Main Street Bank. Cheer local, bank local. Put their team in your office. Visit mstreetbank.com for more information.
The Nationals play the Braves tonight in Atlanta, trying to avoid what would be an eighth straight loss. Danny, it's gotten ugly here in the last week with the seven consecutive L's. Mostly they're just not hitting. They're not scoring. Now, yesterday I thought it might be different because C.J. Abrams hit the leadoff home run in Atlanta, crushed a ball to right field. James Wood came around to score a couple innings later, and they were up 2-0 and off to a fast start. But they couldn't get anything else going. So despite another decent pitching performance, they found themselves down in the late innings. And when that's the case, generally their bullpen doesn't keep the game close enough for their offense to rally late. But they just haven't hit or scored with any consistency during this losing streak.
Yeah, Wood homered in the first game of the series, and it's, just alone on an island. I mean, C.J. Abrams is having a wonderful year. Five homers, eight steals. I mean, he missed some time, but hitting over 300 with an on-base percentage close to 360. He's doing what you want. I mean, this was the, did you take your lesson? Did you take your lumps and grow up? The answer is yes. Having a really nice year. James Wood is doing James Wood things, but it's just not enough in the lineup, right? Garcia's slumping. It's not all his fault. He's got some bad metrics that say he should be hitting better. But when you're trotting out there, Jose Tena, Dylan Cruz hitting under 180, Josh Bell hitting 140, Nathaniel Lowe's down at 230 right next to his dentist appointment. All of a sudden, it's like there's not much going in terms of balance or depth in the lineup.
Well, beyond that, this goes back to the beginning of the season and something that really annoyed me. So remember, when we came back from spring training, we were really surprised by the external messaging from the team. And that's from the top all the way down, right? With Mike Rizzo and the front office and Davey and the field staff and the players themselves one by one. All the way through right before opening day when we sat down with a bunch of the players after they got off the red carpet. And many of the people in the organization said the same thing. The losing's over. The rebuild is complete, which was not true. But what it does is it gives ammunition to the people that don't really understand what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't understand that messaging or that branding because in order to turn the corner, which they were all suggesting it was time to do, we're ready to turn the corner. We're ready to compete. We're ready to get over 500. Well, no, you're not. You've won 71 games the last 2 years. You didn't add enough talent. You didn't add enough money to the payroll. You didn't spend what it's going to take to make a leap. Your pitching splash was an oft-injured guy who had a high ERA and hasn't been that successful and has mostly been hurt the last few years in your rotation. Your bullpen splashes were guys that were available without much of a market that other teams weren't lining up for at a couple $1 million apiece. By the way, most of those guys have already been released early this season. Your lineup splashes were Josh Bell, who when they sent him out of here the last time was starting to slow down and has since become even a worse, less consistent offensive player. And, to me, I just didn't understand. I get what the offseason was. Ownership's not spending money. They're not giving you what you need to make the 71 wins become 83 wins. And 83 wins become 87. But then don't tell everyone you're ready. At some point, those games have to be played.
Yeah, I don't mind internal messaging to kids being like, you're not here to lose. Go compete. I got no problem telling Mackenzie Gore and James Wood and Dylan Cruz and C.J. Abrams, this isn't a babysitting service. You're not here to develop. You're here to go play baseball games and win them.
Yeah, it's not okay to go out and go 74 wins and 90-whatever losses that the math is this year. Tell them that. But that's not what they were doing. They were going on the radio
and
with you and
point.
I, and they were saying to the ticket holders and the fans and the media and building expectations that after back-to-back 71-win seasons, and last year was better than the year before, You know, they happened to sell off pretty significantly
right.
Again last year, or else they would have won maybe 74, 75 games. But the idea was, you know, we made a little improvement last year from 71 to probably a 74, 75 win caliber team. This year we can get to 80 to 82 wins.
We're talking wild card. So, yeah, I mean, so what's happened lately, your round of starting pitching for a couple of weeks, couple turns through the rotation, have had a couple rough outings, right? Mitchell Parker's in a bit of a scuffle. Jake Irvin has lost velocity and is now not having the same year he was last year. So when any kind of hiccup happens in a less than perfect machine, a bullpen's already a disaster. You got an offense that can't hit its way out of a paper bag. So, yeah, ta-da, ipso facto, on the verge of losing eight straight. So that's where we are. It's one of those groups that, you know, there's no, I mean, it's obviously not a fair standard, but I'm just offering this by way of example. There's no Aaron Judge to fix everything. You know what I mean? There's no like superstar that when the starting pitching slump, it don't matter. Bobby Witt's going to hit a 3-run homer and steal two bases and make a goal play it short, or the stopper's coming up to fix everything and go 8 shutout when you need something. They got some good young pieces, some guys that I'm excited about still building around. There's no reason not to be excited about Gore, Wood, Abrams and company. I'm all in, but the kid reinforcements are still a little ways away, Brady House and company, and they don't have enough at the major league level to warrant the kind of conversations that they were having. You and I both kind of looked at each other a couple different times going, that's another person that just said it. That's not just some 22-year-old saying it. That's up and down the organization.
And I guess I get why they might have thought they were better than they were, possibly, because I really do believe they're a 500 ball club with like a 57-win bullpen. I think their starting rotation and their lineup are probably 500-ish. That's like a 79 to 82 win starting window rotation there, yeah. And lineup. But the problem I have with that thinking is you knew the bullpen wasn't going to be good. There's no way the baseball people over there.
And also, not everything goes according to plan. I mean, well, a starting pitcher that like Trevor Williams was a renaissance last year. You sure that's happening again?
Sure, but he's your fifth starter. I mean, Every team has that question. I mean, the Orioles thought they were going to win 90 games with a crap rotation on paper. Like, I don't have a big problem with how the rotation was built to be a 500 team. But my point is, the lineup and the rotation, both as kind of middling, were night and day better than the bullpen. And I don't know how they didn't know the bullpen wasn't going to be a fiasco. Even if you tell me, yeah, we thought Sims was better, we thought Poche was better, just look at it on paper. Look at the group they put together. To start a marathon, to start 162 with all the injuries and the ebbs and the flows, come on. And that's been the real bugaboo.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. expresspros.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going up. we've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.